Good morning again. Sermon text this morning is from Titus 3. Titus 3, if you're in the Pew Bible, the ESV, it's on page 998 and 999. And if you would, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. All right, so today I want to answer a simple question, and that is, what is regeneration? You might have heard somebody say they're a born-again Christian. Born-again is sort of the same as regeneration. And I want us to look at this text and ask the basic question, what does that mean? What does it mean to be born again, to be regenerated? So if you like to take notes, if that's how you think, you can write regeneration, colon, and then work out some ideas. And if you have to have 3 points, let me give you 3 points. And they come straight from the flow of Titus 3. The first part is a reminder of our sin. And then we're reminded of our salvation. And then we are encouraged to go forward and do good works. So a reminder of sin, a reminder of salvation, and then encouragement to move forward in good works. And now, I'd like to tell you a special story entitled, The Dirtiest I Ever Got. The dirtiest I ever got was at summer camp when I was 13 years old. Now, a 13-year-old boy does not naturally have the most pleasing odor, okay? So, no more details needed. So, I'm going to summer camp, and it's in Oklahoma, which is actually remarkably similar to Mobile in that it gets very hot in the summer, and the humidity is very high. So, this is summer camp. We're out all day long doing crazy stuff, and so you get even more dirty at summer camp than you usually would on a normal day. I would say you get roughly 3 times dirtier at summer camp. So, take everything I'm about to say about my gross armpits and multiply it by 3. Okay, so I get to summer camp and I'm super excited. And I'm 13 and I see that there's lots of pretty girls there this week. And so I immediately start sweating, which would be the very beginning of a week of so much sweat. We played soccer in the middle of the day. Don't know why they thought that was a good idea. It was 100 degrees out. The humidity was through the roof. And so I was just pouring sweat. That night we played a game where you had to go find all the counselors. You know, they were hidden all around the camp and you had to like get their mark on your hands and stuff. And so, again, we're running outside. I climbed a tree at one point and got sap and needles just all over myself. And so at the end of the night, I came back to my cabin more in need of a shower than probably I had ever been in my entire life. But I did not take a shower. No, you see, I made a pact with the other boys in Cabin C at Shepherd's Fold Ranch in June of 1999, and I did not bathe for the entire week of summer camp. That's right. Now, I did go swimming pretty much every day, but not in a chlorinated pool that might have done something to disinfect my putrid skin. I went swimming in an old lake covered with a kind of mossy scum layer. And we played outside every day, and every night we had a kind of music jam, which was basically just loud music, and everybody would yell and dance and jump and, again, sweat so much more than I had ever thought possible. And so for a week, I did not bathe, not once. For a whole week, I did not wash myself. I just piled on layer after layer after layer of grime and filth. Now, the funny thing about being that dirty and not showering that long is you actually start to, like, not be able to smell yourself. It's like your nose just gives up. Okay, I'm out this week. I'm not doing this anymore. So the funny thing is, the only thing I actually said that week about the way that I smelled was, yeah, it's actually not that bad. Because I couldn't smell myself. I was too close to it. You know what I mean? Now, if I'd asked anyone else, I'm sure they would have told me that I smelled absolutely wretched. But I couldn't tell. I was too close to it. And so I couldn't smell myself. I actually thought, you know, maybe I smell okay. It's like when something is all around you, you just get used to it and you can't see it anymore. Now listen to this. You don't think that you were all that sinful before you met Jesus. Do you? Listen to what Titus says. Now, maybe it's been a long time since you were saved and you've kind of forgotten. Or maybe you met Jesus at a young age. Or maybe you never could smell yourself. But listen to what Paul says in Titus 3 about all of us. That we were foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to our various passions and pleasures. We passed our days in malice and envy. We were hated by others and hated one another. But come on. That's not you. That's never been you, right? Very similar passage in Ephesians 2. Paul says that we were dead in our trespasses and our sins. But come on. I mean, you don't really think of yourself as being that bad, do you? Of course you needed Jesus. We all do. You know that. But do you really consider yourself that desperate before you met Jesus? Was it really that bad? And it's hard enough for someone who's a Christian, but if you're here and you're not a Christian, that must be a really offensive thing to say, that you're this bad of a person, when you probably think of yourself as, you know, nobody's perfect, but a pretty good person. But that's because you can't smell yourself. And the Bible says that we were all like this, all of us, including everyone who is a Christian in this room today. You may sniff yourself and think that you don't stink, but when God smells you, he knows exactly how you smell, and he says that you are dead in your sins, just like this. But, and that is the most important word in this entire passage, but when God enters the scene, you see, that is the hinge on which this whole thing turns. Up to this point, it's been all bad news. You're a terrible person. Not exactly what you came to hear this morning. But, and the whole thing turns, and now it's time for God to step on the scene and bring us good news. See, good news can't really be good unless there's bad news first. So God gives us bad news. He lets us know exactly how bad we smelled. But that's so that he can bring us good news. If you don't have a problem, you don't need a solution. If you're not sick, you don't need a doctor. But God, in the gospel, cuts us down so that he can build us back up and much higher than we had ever thought possible. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And it begins in our passage with this word, but when. And there's also a hinge in my story, the dirtiest I ever got, a but when. Now, after 6.5 days of summer camp, multiplied by 3, I did not smell bad. I did not smell terrible or horrible. I did not smell rancid or putrid. It was something far beyond all of these, a word I don't think the English language actually has. But when I got in the car with my parents, I learned some new words in the English language from my mother. And she said, there is no way you are getting in this car and we are driving 3 hours back home with you smelling like that. And I'm like, well, Mom, camp's over. Like, I've had to go. They've locked up the... And she's like, I don't care. Go find your counselor and tell him you have to take a shower right now. So I have to go back to my counselor. He has to open up the cabin again. I have to unpack my bag, pull out my as yet unused toiletries, and hop in the shower. And when I did... And that steaming water hit me. And when I got the shampoo and dug my nails into my scalp, oh, it felt so good. And I rubbed myself until that Dove bar of soap was almost gone. And then I toweled off, put on fresh clothes, and walked back out of that cabin. And I was not the same person who had walked in. I was a new man. I felt reborn, you know? I felt like a brand new person. It may have looked like the same person walked in, walked out, but I was not. I was fresh and revitalized and finally clean. And that, if you can believe it, is exactly what God does for us. For us who are dirty and smelly in our sins, God washes us white and clean. Let's look back at our scriptures in Titus 3. But, after the bad news, when the goodness and loving kindness of our God, of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration, there it is, and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, did you see it? Did you hear him define regeneration? Regeneration is washing and renewal. Washing and renewal. And so when you are regenerated, reborn, you are made into a new person. The old person who is dirty and sinful is washed clean, scrubbed white, and you are renewed. You're made into a new person. Just like I felt when I walked out of that shower. I mean, I felt like a new man, you know? That's what it means to be regenerated, to be born again. It's to be a totally new and different person. Someone who's had their sins washed and had everything inside of them spiritually renewed. You're a new person, and you'll never be the same again. And why? Why does that happen? Why would God do this for anyone? Well, I'll tell you why he doesn't do it. It's not because some of us are a little bit less dirty than others, you know, which is generally how we think of ourselves. It's not like God saw some people, and he's like, you know, you're actually just, you know, you got a few specks here and there. That wouldn't be too bad of a job, so I'll go ahead and clean you up. Or, you know, there's nobody pointing to God like, hey, I already got started here, and I'm doing a pretty good job, I feel like, so if you want to just finish things off, that would be great. No, we are all totally filthy. It has nothing to do with how good we are. And isn't that what it says here? That he washed us and regenerated us and saved us, not because of works done in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. And those two things are exact opposites. Okay, you can't be hot and cold, you can't light up a room and have it be dark, and you can't be saved by your own righteousness and by God's mercy. It's got to be 100% him and 0% us. God is the one who renews people, who brings them to new life. He's the only one who has that power to bring life out of death. So it's not because of works done in righteousness, but because of his mercy. And then we get a little bit more detail about why God does this. It's not based on what you've done. It's actually based on what Jesus has done. Look at this. Regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So the Holy Spirit is the one who does this renewing through Jesus. Now what does that mean? That we're washed and renewed through Jesus. Well, again, there's a a very similar passage in Ephesians 2, and he says something very similar, but he kind of spells it out even a little bit more. And he says that when we were dead in our sins, God made us alive together with him, that is with Jesus, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So he's just hammering over and over again that this happened to you in and through and with and by Jesus. Here's what I think that means. Jesus is the only one who never got dirty, right? He's called the spotless lamb. The one person who walked all the way through life and didn't get a single drop of dirt or muck on him at all. And yet, he had our filth thrown onto him, right? He voluntarily accepted all of our dirt. But that's not where the story ends. Jesus doesn't just get dirty and die. He is raised up to a new life. Jesus gets washed and renewed. Not of his own sins, but of your sins and of mine and of anyone who believes in Jesus. So he has been washed and renewed. He didn't stay dead. He got raised up to new life. Jesus is a new man, a new person. And he's actually in heaven right now with a new body. And he'll never experience the dirt and grime of this world ever again. And so we who believe in Jesus, we get joined to him. That's how our salvation happens. It's in him. It's through him. It's by getting connected to him. See, his story becomes our story. Jesus was washed and renewed. That means anyone who believes in him will be washed and renewed. Jesus has already been resurrected and has his new body. And that is our future promise that we look forward to. Or as Titus would say, our hope of eternal life. But it's not just something for the future. But in fact, if you believe in Jesus now, you get to already start living that new life. So just as Jesus was raised up to new life and is a new person, inwardly, spiritually, we have been washed and renewed and regenerated. And we are reborn. We are not the people that we used to be. We are brand new. We are made new in Jesus. Now, we're still waiting for the fullness of that. Anyone already have their resurrection body? Anyone? Show of hands? No. We're still waiting, right? But it's really started already. Because Jesus has been resurrected, we have been inwardly renewed. And we get to be new people right now. The story of Jesus becomes our story, and death gives way to life. As it did for Jesus, just so it does for us. Well, what's the last piece of our passage, our third point, right? It's good works. We go from being dead in our sins, this description of how terrible we were, to this hinge, but when God saves us, and we're reminded of our salvation. And now, Paul wants to push us out the door with, do good works. So let's read, I think it's just verse 8. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. And so maybe instead of saying that God created us, we can say now that he has recreated us. We have been regenerated and renewed. Re means done again. It means it's brand new, right? God created us once. We messed that up with sin. And now he has recreated us with the chance to be brand new people. But what I want you to see here with these, kind of encouragement and exhortation to good works is that good works just make sense for someone who's new. You know what I mean? It's like the most natural thing for them to do. Now, when you're old and dirty and dead in your sins, you do what's natural. And it's natural to do what's wrong and dirty and sinful. That's who you are, so that's what you do. But when you're a new person, the most natural thing for you that just kind of comes out of you is new stuff, not the old stuff. That's not who you are anymore. So I don't want you to hear, God did all this good stuff for you, so you better, start making it up to him by doing good stuff. No, the message is, you are a new person. So act like who you are. Act like a new person. That's the message that Paul is trying to drive through here. Now that you've been forgiven, it's not just, okay, that was one thing, you've been forgiven, now stop sinning and do good stuff, and it's something totally separate. It's, look who God has made you to be. Now go be that person. Go be that brand new person that God has made you to be. And remember, the same one who got you started, who recreated you, will continually renew you and give you that ability to be a new person. So it's more like, you are new, so act new. Now, I don't want you to hear, it's easy maybe to get a little too victorious. Like, yes, we're new, so this whole sin struggle is over. And so then you might be thinking, well, man, I don't always live like a new person. Gosh, I don't always, feel like a new person. Sometimes I feel a lot more like, that old guy. But I would say that part of being a new person is that struggle. That, I keep getting pulled, back into this old way of life. But that's not who I am, and that's not who I want to be. Someone who's old and dead, there's no struggle. There's no fight. They just do what's natural, which is what's wrong. But for someone who's new, they do things that are new. They really do. And when they feel themselves getting pulled back into this old way of life, they struggle and they fight and they hate it. And we really do make progress, although sometimes our progress feels more like, one step forward, two steps back. Sometimes it feels like we're not very new at all. But we really do make progress. And one sign of that progress is that we are fighting. We're not just giving in to this old self, but we have a new self that's capable of struggling and of doing new things. So I don't want you to hear, you should be all the way done with sin, nor do I want you to hear, well, we're just going to kind of keep on sinning until Jesus comes back. No, we really are brand new people, and we can live that way right now. But until he comes back, we're never going to get quite all the way there. But we can take comfort in at least the fact that we are battling and we are struggling. Now, if you don't resonate with all this newness when I talk about being a new person, if that doesn't make sense and doesn't ring true really at all, and you think, I wouldn't consider myself, a life of struggle or battle. It may be because you're still dirty. It may be. Maybe you've been to church and you've heard the Bible a bunch, but it's never come alive inside of you. And you've never had that realization and that feeling of, whoa, this stuff is true. I think I'm going to start being a new person. And then you see that actually happening in your life. And it's stuttering and it's difficult, but you're doing it. If that hasn't happened, let me just say that you can share in the story of Jesus. He died and was washed and renewed. And simply by believing that, by believing in his promise and what he's done, you can share in his story. You can get joined and connected to him. You can get washed and renewed too, and start a new life as a new person. And then there are those of you who have totally, tracked with what I'm saying, and you're like, yes, I'm a new person. Some people can think of like maybe a very specific moment where you're like, bam, that's when it happened. That's when I was reborn. For others, for me, there's kind of like a 6-month window there where I'm like, oh, it happened at some point in there. And I know I'm different now. It doesn't necessarily matter exactly when it happened. But if you're tracking with that and you know that you are new, that God has regenerated you, then I want to encourage you, just like Titus does, to go live like a new person, to do good works and good things, because you can. Not because you have to, but because God has made you into the type of person who can do new and good and wonderful things. And what those things are is something for you to work out for yourself and with your family and with your small group and maybe at lunch. After the service today, you can talk more specifically about, what would a new person do in this situation? As you go to school and to work this week, just let that ring in your head. God has washed me and made me new. what would a new version of myself do in this situation? And then just see what the Holy Spirit does and how he equips you and makes you capable of living a new life. I'll give you a couple of things maybe to get the juices flowing and get you started. And it comes from the very beginning of our passage. New people are submissive to rulers and authorities. They are obedient. They are ready for every good work. New people speak evil of no one. They avoid arguing and fighting. They are gentle, and they show perfect courtesy toward all people. Now that is a new way to live. That is different than the way most people live. That is who God recreated you to be. So go out and act new. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we bless your name for the great work that you've done that none of us could ever possibly do for ourselves because we were so dirty and dead in our sins, because we couldn't smell ourselves. We needed someone to come from the outside and to do something drastic for us. And for those of us who believe in Jesus today, whether for the very first time or for the thousandth time, we believe in him all over again. Lord, would you remind us that we are new people in Jesus Christ, that we've had our sins washed, totally white and clean, and that as clean people, we have your Holy Spirit to enable us to live like new people. As we go forward this week and we just get into the humdrum of life and there's chores around the house and there's things that need to be taken care of and da-da-da-da-da, Lord, I pray that you would break into those moments and that you would encourage us with your great grace and that you would spark creative ways for us to live like new people this week, that we'd be able to do that together and encourage one another, and in that way that this group of people who belong to you would be witnesses to your new creation. We ask this in the name of Jesus because of what he has done for us and not because of what we have done for ourselves. Amen.